afternoon. Welcome to 32 Tuesday for Tuesday, May the 2nd. If you're a returning guest, as always, it's nice to have you back. If you're new to 32 Tuesday, please come on in. Have a seat, sit down, get comfortable, and enjoy yourself. You found your way to my virtual country cottage in the countryside? There are enough well-oversized, amply cushioned Victorian chairs for everyone. Close your eyes and let yourself be transported back to the 1920s. I am Bonaparte, your blind skeleton, and you are listening to Blind Skeleton Online Radio. 32 Tuesday is an opportunity for me to share some vintage pre-1924 78 RPM songs from my collection. Some are vintage, some are popular. All of them have a great deal of character. So today's show went through a last-minute modification. I'm going to start today's show with a tribute to Gordon Lightfoot. He's a great singer-songwriter who sadly passed away last night at the ripe old age of 84. I knew Gordon Lightfoot growing up. I think every Canadian child knows Gordon Lightfoot growing up. His songs Sundown and Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald are still radio staples today, even on classic rock songs, classic rock stations. It really wasn't until college, though, that I truly began to appreciate his music and his wider music from the 1960s up into even the late 1980s. He was primarily a folk artist, but he spanned every genre. He was really good at it. I ended up purchasing a couple of his CDs in college. They became pretty much a mainstay in my playlists, and some of his songs got me through some pretty difficult times. Some of them get me through some really good times as well. He has something for everyone. A fantastic singer, he's going to be missed. Now, here at Blind Skeleton Radio, we are all about 78 RPM records. These are the big, thick, heavy ones that will break your toe if you drop them on them. They spin pretty quickly. 78 RPM is well over twice the speed of a 33 RPM record that I think a lot of people are familiar with. And their era ended in the 1950s. Gordon Lightfoot's career started in the 60s, so there are no 78 RPM records of Gordon Lightfoot, but we can certainly take some inspiration and play some songs in tribute. In 1976, Lightfoot penned what was probably his most famous song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It was a song about the maritime disaster, the Edmund Fitzgerald, that sank in November of 1975, killing all 29 crew members of the freighter that were on board. No one really knows what happened to make the big boat sink. There are some theories. There have been some dives done in the following years. They have found the ship, and they have some ideas as to what may have happened, but nobody knows for sure. What we know for sure is that the ship went down, taking all the lives with it. The song itself deals with what the last minutes must have been like for those crew on board, knowing that they're going down. Now, in 1924, a fellow named Henry Witter penned a song called The Wreck of the Old 97. This was a train disaster that occurred in 1903 in Virginia. The Old 97 was a Southern Railway mail train that was traveling from Monroe, Virginia to Spencer, North Carolina. This was September 27, 1903. The train was behind schedule, and the engineer, Joseph A. Brody, was under some pressure to make up time. He was going fast. The train was approaching a sharp curve near Danville, Virginia. Brody attempted to slow the train down by applying the brakes, but it was too late. The train derailed and crashed, killing 11 people and injuring a number of others. The lyrics of the song describe the events leading up to the disaster and the aftermath, including the heroism of the engineer who stayed on the train to try to slow it down and save the lives of the passengers. The song has been widely interpreted as a tribute to the bravery of railroad workers and the dangers they faced in the early days of rail travel. Now, the song was first recorded in 1924 by Henry Widder. It's been covered by a number of other artists since then. This one was recorded in 1924 by a fellow of the name of Vernon Dalhart. That was Wreck of the Old 97. Certainly carries some similarities with it to Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Perhaps not quite as polished, but definitely just as folkish and just as emotional in the storytelling. Yesterday was May Day, and this was where I was originally going to begin the show today. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the idea of a pilot or a ship's captain yelling out May Day into a speaker or a microphone when their vessel's in danger, but that isn't what yesterday, May Day, was all about. There are two different May Days in the world yesterday. The original ancient one is the Northern Hemisphere Festival that traditionally marks the arrival of spring. It's celebrated on May 1st, hence May Day, and due to different reasons is often also known as International Workers' Day. Now, the origins of May Day itself can be traced back to ancient Roman times, when the festival of Flora surprisingly not the goddess of flowers, was held. Over time, the celebration evolved and was adapted by many different cultures and regions and religions. In medieval Europe, it became associated with maypoles, decorated trees, and other festive customs. Flora was the Roman goddess of flowers in springtime. It's where we get the word floral today. She was primarily associated with the blossoming of plants and the fertility of nature. According to the Romans as well, she was married to Zephyrus, the god of the west wind, who was responsible for bringing the spring breezes, and from whom we get the name Zephyr. The festival in ancient Rome was named Floralia. It was held from April 28th to May 3rd of each year. It included, as a good Roman festival would, drinking, dancing, and feasting, and it was believed to bring good luck and fertility to the crops. In art, Flora was often depicted as a beautiful young woman wearing a crown of flowers and carrying a basket of blossoms. She was sometimes shown with her husband, a little more often surrounded by a host of other springtime figures such as nymphs, satyrs, and fauns. And her image was often placed into gardens and other places where flowers and plants were grown. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, May Day became known for another reason. It became associated with workers' rights and the labor movement, which is where the International Workers' Day idea of May Day comes in. On May 1st, 1886, thousands of workers across the United States went on strike to demand an 8-hour workday. It's something that we very much take for granted these days. The following day, May 2nd, a peaceful demonstration in Chicago's Haymarket Square turned violent and multiple people were killed. In the years that followed, May Day became an important day for workers to rally and demand better working conditions, fair wages, and other labor-related issues. Today, May Day is celebrated in many different ways around the world. In some countries, it's a public holiday, day off from work, a bank holiday, what have you. In others, it's still marked with parades and festivals. In some places, it's still associated with traditional springtime customs, such as dancing around a maypole. A maypole itself is a tall wooden pole, hence the name pole, that is decorated with flowers and ribbons and is used as a centerpiece for folk festivals to celebrate the renewal of life and fertility, or it's just used for a reason to dance. A common feature in the festivals is the maypole dance, in which people hold the ribbons and circle around the pole, forming different patterns and directions with the ribbons. It ends up being very, very colorful, very pretty braid. Now, the origin of the maypole is not clear, but it most likely derived from ancient pagan rituals, which is why it ended up being not very common in America, North America, the United States in particular, where it would have been discouraged by Puritans who saw it as a sign of paganism and immorality. So we've got a song coming up next in honor of May Day and flowers called the Wildflower Waltz. The Wildflower Waltz is performed by the Yerkes Jazzarimba Orchestra, which is one of the best names for an orchestra I have ever heard in my life. The name's actually derived from two of its band members, trumpeter Arthur Yerkes Brunner and xylophonist George Jazzarimba Hamilton Green. The band was originally from Chicago, but they became quite popular nationally for their lively and energetic performances. So here is Wildflower Waltz. ¶¶ So if you think of waltzes like I do, you can very quickly envision them being played on a carousel. And I can do that each and every single time. So before we get on to our third and final song of the day, it is, of course, time for some administration and announcements. I would like to remind the audience that the Blind Skeleton webpage is live, active, and interactive. If you browse to blindskeleton.one and browse around, if you go to the Explore tab, you will find a database full of the records in the Blind Skeleton collection. You can browse them, you can search them, you can request a song with it. I encourage, ask, request each of you to do that. Find a song that you think would be nice to listen to. Send in the request. There's a single button to do it. Include your email in the request, and I will respond to you when I play the song with a coupon for Skeleton Brew Coffee, also available on the website. Of course, also speaking about coffee, it is something that is near and dear to my heart. It gets me through each and every day. This week, we've started a new show, 7 a.m. Eastern Time every weekday morning, is Morning Coffee with Bonaparte. It's somewhat of a variety show. I talk about whatever comes to mind, whatever strikes the fancy, I play a song, and a good time is had by all, including coffee. Do join in, have a listen, and let me know what you think. Next week, of course, we will have our regularly scheduled 3-Tune Tuesday at this time. Next Wednesday, which would be the 10th, we'll also have our bi-weekly Electric Dreams show, which will be at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. 3-Tune Tuesday is where I share three pre-1924 acoustically recorded songs. Electric Dreams is where I share a number of early electrically recorded songs from the years 1927 to 1937, give or take a year or two on either side. That is every second Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. We've also started, since we are really beginning to expand the brand, we've started a Blind Skeleton video series. We're dropping a new video every Saturday. I don't have an exact time. It is between the hours of 12 to 12 every Saturday. A new video of varying length and topic. Last week we shared a vintage coffee recipe on how to brew coffee with the use of an egg white. This coming week, I believe we will be expanding on that to share a recipe on how to brew coffee with the entire egg, y'all concluded. So be sure to drop onto the webpage late Saturday afternoon, definitely by Sunday, to take a peek at that. And as a last note, drop me a comment, drop me an email, drop me a tweet, send me something on Discord. You can reach me on email at bonaparte@blindskeleton.one, on Twitter as skeleton_1. Give me a follow on Twitter, I will be sure to follow back. Our final song of the day is a song named Rainy Day Blues. In 1975, Gordon Lightfoot wrote and sang a song called Rainy Day People, and I felt that this was an appropriate way to commemorate him and end the week show. Lightfoot's Rainy Day People was about all the people you know in your life who are always there for you when you need them, no questions asked. They are your rainy day people. It could be a lover, a friend, a family member, or just whoever. Now, I go back to this song pretty often, and not when I'm feeling down, but when I'm feeling chipper, because it's a nice reminder of why we're all feeling chipper and the good things that we have around us. Now, by contrast, Rainy Day Blues is a jazz tune, not a folk tune. It was recorded in 1924 by another great band name, Wilbur Sweatman's Original Jazz Band. It's a catchy melody, and there's some good strong interplay between the clarinets and the saxophones. Wilbur Sweatman himself was born in Brunswick, Missouri in 1882, and he began his career as a musician in his teens. He moved to Chicago in the early 1900s and ended up becoming a band leader. The band that he founded, which did become known as Wilbur Sweatman's Original Jazz Band, was one of the first African-American bands to record jazz music. It wasn't the first band to record a jazz song. That goes to the Original Dixieland Jazz Band, but they were still very early in the life of jazz. The band's style was characterized by lively rhythms, catchy melodies, and virtuosic solos. And that is our show for the week. Thank you very much for dropping in and spending your lunchtime with me. I very much do appreciate it. Be sure to tune in next week, same time. Another Three Tune Tuesday, another three catchy old tunes. So just as I am wrapping up, I do see stepping in through the side door a sneaky pretty lady. The story lady has just arrived, and I'm sure she's got another wonderful tale to tell us. Here is the story lady. Have a fantastic week.
Time now for another visit with the story lady.
Hello, boys and girls. Today we're going to hear the story I call The Woodman's Sacrifice. Once upon a time in a kingdom very far away, the queen decided that she would give a great prize to whichever subject in her kingdom could best prove his loyalty and devotion to her. Many people came and gave many gifts and paid great tribute to the queen. Finally, a very poor woodsman was ushered into her chambers, and there before all assembled, he said, "My devotion to my queen is so great that I must come here on this day to prove it, for I am sure that I will win the great prize. And though I am very poor and have little, I will show my loyalty through making a great sacrifice to the queen." And with that, the woodsman, in one swift and sudden move, took out a knife and cut off his arm. The queen looked down at him and said, "Oh, woodsman, I am very sorry, but I wasn't paying attention. Could you do that again?"
Thank you, Story Lady. Be listening next time, boys and girls, when the Story Lady tells us the beautiful fable of the foolish boy who washed his underwear in soy sauce.